It's good to see all of you. I was surprised at how humid it is today. I want to get just out of the sun so the paper doesn't seem like I'm looking into a glass mirror. If you would you please turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians, and I am going to read chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 again. My intent is to highlight more about what it has to do with believing in the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, and how He speaks to us, believe it or not, using affliction. And we are going to see that hopefully through these first 11 verses, and how our God uses those to our advantage and to advance His kingdom. If you would notice with me, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and in verse 1 it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, that's the lower part of Greece, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. In verse 7, our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired for life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Verse 10, He delivered us from such deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again, and also must help us by, or you must also help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted through us through the prayers of many. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's see if I can just slide over one way or another. That paper is just too bright. We talked last week about how the overview of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and how the people in Corinth were experiencing a very difficult time. The synagogue next door to their church, they had their minister had left and went with Paul. Now they have a house church right next to the synagogue. And what had ended up happening was now they were upset with Paul. They were upset with their priest that was leading them in the synagogue. And they were bringing Paul and these people to court. And so now there's these strains and problems. We saw in 1 Corinthians how from chapter 7 through the end of the book, they were answering problems about prayer, about marriage. They were talking about things about how what is worship, what we could eat, what we shouldn't eat, all these things we knew. And then also, as we glanced at 2 Corinthians for the first 9 chapters, all of the promises that we were all familiar with. And now Paul is going on, and he wants to be very specific and talking about, where do you and I find our comfort? Where does this come from? And if you will notice with me, would you look with me in verses 3 and 4? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. He says, blessed is a beatitude. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he describes him as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. This is where we find our comfort from. And he says, who comforts us in our afflictions. Now remember, he's talking to the people in Corinth who are baby Christians, and they are being debated and abused by the Jewish leaders who are right next door. So they're trying to fight an uphill battle because they're not mature enough yet with the word so that they can defend themselves against some guy who's memorized the first five books of the Bible. And they are maybe now some Greeks who had come out of worshiping the goddess Diana and had all kinds of other stuff filling their heads. So now he says that we may be comforted through our afflictions. And afflictions is a general word. So if you'll notice, we'll start with this. The word, he says, blessed be our God. That's the word theos, which we know, the creator, the strong one. But this is where I end up choking personally on this word, and it's the word father. The Greek word is pater, P-A-T-E-R, pater. That's where we get paternal from, the Greek word. And the word means the one who stands in a father's place and looks after another in a paternal way. And so this word is also used, translated, when you go back into the Old Testament, into Hebrew, it's the creator, as in the father, the creator. He's the father, the preserver. He's the guardian. He's the protector. That's how the word is used multiple ways. If you go to a Greek dictionary, not your Webster's dictionary, you will find this definition in there referring to pater, father, for Christians as those who through Christ have been exalted to a specially close and intimate relationship with God and who no longer dread him as a stern judge of sinners, but revere him as their reconciled and loving father. So it's a change. It's the idea of the change is this. When men look at God, they don't want him as their God. I don't know if you caught it on the news about 2 or 3 weeks ago with the protesting that was going on. There was people down in Atlanta that had signs up that had a picture of "We don't want God ruling us." And they have a picture of a man with a cross being thrown into a trash bin. And he was walking down in the protest with it. So is it still real today? Yes, it's going on. Now, for me, when I think of Father, I have to admit, I need to confess that I have some very deep and emotional memories that are difficult to live with. It brings up a lot of bitter feelings, and it's been over 50 years. And I have a very difficult time having positive thoughts regarding the word father, because everything that comes out of my memory, my thoughts growing up are negative as the most positive. I have an example. When Jan and I were engaged, I brought Jan out to our house, to my house, which was near Albany, New York. Jan was from Buffalo. We were having dinner. We're sitting around the dining room table. Jan has just come in the house. She's been in the house only several hours. Mom made spaghetti and meatballs. And Dad liked a hot sausage. And we're starting to eat. He takes a taste of the hot sausage. He gets upset and yells. I mean, this guy's 6'5", 325 pounds, and he's screaming at the top of his lungs, "Hilda," which was my mom, "you didn't get hot sausage." And she says, "I did." She went over to the garbage pail, pulled out the packet, and it says, "hot." My dad picks up the plate, throws it from the dining room into the kitchen sink, full. Jan is sitting next to me. She went white. I mean, this is the first she's seen this guy. And this is a good day because no one got hit by the plate. And so I see, when I hear father, I hear dread. I hear stern without cause. And that's how, that was a good day. Last night, I had an opportunity to speak to a very close friend of mine. And I mentioned, my message tomorrow is going to have to do with our God being our father, our guardian, our mentor, the one who watches out over us. And my very close friend, he had a one-word definition for father: abandoned. When he thinks of father, he thinks of being abandoned, because his father abandoned him and his brothers and sisters. So as he was talking with me, here were two guys that are in our 60s, and we are still playing in the back of our mind with a twisted idea that we are trying to straighten out biblically in our head. And here, the scripture tells us that he is the God of all mercies. Somehow, in my personal mind, father and mercies do not go together. It's the old idea of oil and water. Yeah, you shake them up, but they separate really quick. So anyways, our God, as in verse 3, he is the one who is talking, and he is the Father of mercies. I personally can mentally attain to the correct understanding of the word. For some reason, there is no emotion or emotional tug for me behind this word of, oh yeah. It's like, oh no. I understand it mentally, and I can understand if some other people have problems, afflictions with that tug. I have a lot of friends that are going, oh, I had the greatest father. He was my best friend. That does not resonate in my head. Yeah, I don't know why. I can't change it, but I can comprehend it mentally. But we know that our God is our Father who is taking care of us, and he is merciful to us. And he is the Father of mercies. The word mercies that you see there means he's showing kindness to someone who deserves scorn. That's what the word means, mercies. Someone who deserves scorn. So you're merciful to somebody that you're going, oh, not that again. And you don't go over and kick him in the shins. So here, God is an emotional God, and he can be scornful, but he is not. He is compassionate. Think about it. He is compassionate to you. Is there anyone here who believes I deserve or you deserve the compassion from God? In what way you could walk up to God and say, hey, look at how good I am. Somehow it doesn't work in my head. Not biblically, anyways. But we know that God has been compassionate with mankind right from Genesis 3:15, where he has given us a promise of a Redeemer who will come. And then Paul also spoke about God being rich in mercies. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to do this, read verses 4 and 5 for this reason. Paul was in Ephesus when he was writing to the people in Corinth. Now, he wasn't in Ephesus when he wrote the book of Ephesus, but this is his thoughts. He's in Ephesus, he's writing back to the people in Corinth, and he tells us a little bit about God and the way he conducts himself towards those who trust in him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. I'll reread that last word. Even when we were dead in our intentional sins. When you are intentionally disobedient. That's what the word trespasses is. You planned on it. You laid awake at night and you're saying, man, this is what I should do. And you went ahead with it, even though you knew it was wrong. And God is merciful even when we have intentional sins. One of the points that Paul was trying to show is that how gracious, merciful, and kind the Father can be, how paternal he can be towards you, even though you and I do not deserve it. And he wants us to understand that he is compassionate and he is long-suffering while you and I are spiritually maturing to be a spiritual adult. He's working on us right up until the day he takes us home. And I'm glad he does, because if not, and if God was, as my mind says, evil, that I remember, I'd be a pile of ashes by a righteous God. But instead, our God is a God who comforts us, who encourages us, and that is the other word that is used there, comfort. It says, as in, the idea of comfort is, will you come here to me and I will help you? Now, when you look at the definitions, it just says call near, or it'll say call to one side. You'll see words like exhortation, admonish, or encouragement. The one I personally liked was the word refresh. So comfort has a refreshing part to it. And so when I think of the Father in heaven now, he refreshes my mind and refreshes my soul. And as I go before him, his Holy Spirit changes my mind, as Paul said to the people in Rome, they're the renewing of our mind. And he refreshes our spirit with those truths so that I rely on them. And I have now, I'd like to consider in my own case, new emotions that I can draw on that are separate from the very, very old emotions that I carry around, that I almost talk about as battle scars. Like, look at this scar I've got, you know. Well, anyways, when we see this, we need to know that we are a new creation in Christ. And I'm going to ask you, I'll look at this in several weeks from now, but we're going to jump ahead to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and just do this as a passing by point. The point behind all of this refreshing is this. God calls to himself us, and when he does, he makes you and me a new creation, and it's in Christ. Would you notice what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, which Paul will get to in a little while. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's being a believer, he is a new creature. He's talking about a person who is now a believer who is trusted in the redemptive work of Christ. And he says, the old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, he didn't say all of your old memories went away. What he's saying is the old lifestyle that you thought was correct at one time, if you were an older believer, was incorrect. It was inappropriate. Well, maybe it was the language you used, the attitudes you had, the way you treated people, or just simply ignored people. Now, as a new creature in Christ, you have a heart of compassion because you know Christ and the Father were merciful to you, and you want to be pleasing to our Father in heaven, so you respond in a merciful way towards others, and you've become a new creature in Christ. He has renewed your mind. He has renewed your heart. He has given you, renewed your spirit, so that you are no longer someone who is following the old ways that the world has taught us, that we grew up in. So, how does he comfort us and how does he refresh us? Well, there was one of the passages I personally liked a little bit better than something out of the 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to please ask you to turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 15. And it's verses 4, 5, and 6. And this is one of the ways, there's others, but this is, I thought, was helpful to go with this message. It was Romans chapter 15, verses 4, 5, and 6. And this is one example of God's way of comforting us. If he's a God of mercies and a God of comfort. Listen what it says. It's Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our... Does yours have instructions? Okay. That through... And does yours have endurance in your translation? Endurance and through encouragement. That's the word comfort that is being used. It's just translated in Romans as comfort, as encouragement instead of the word comfort that's used by Paul in Corinthians. So he says, of the scriptures that might give us hope. So you're, as you and I are going through difficult times, you're enduring through whatever yours is, your encouragement, you find your comfort in the word because the scriptures will give you hope. Because you know there's something beyond today. We're looking towards being with Christ in a future time. And that is our hope, that we will be with him. Verse 5, Romans 15, verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement, comfort, grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. So we are to what? Work together with one another in harmony, as in step, as in when we sing together, the idea of military works and marching in harmony. And finally in verse 6, that together you may with one voice, means you're of one mind, one idea from Scripture, to glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that you and I are a new creation, we want to glorify the one who has created us in his image. So what do? We go to the Word, we find out more about this God who loves us, who is merciful towards us, and is leading us and guiding us and encouraging us, so that now we will encourage one another and comfort one another when they are in need or when I am in need. And so that is what it's being spoken about. Now, if you'll notice, there's another word that's being used, and it is the word affliction. It says the Apostle Paul also spoke about this Greek word, and it says, and it means oppression, tribulation, distress, means anguish. So spiritually is referring to a believer who is working through their difficulties, and be they a physical difficulty, an emotional difficulty, a spiritual difficulty. Different circumstances will require different tools to work through these things. This is part of our maturity and us helping one another to know where to look in the Word to find that comfort, find that help, find that hope that we need to follow Christ. I'm going to use an example out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and the reason I'm going there is because the Apostle Paul uses a plethora of afflictions that he lived through. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and it's verses 23 through 28. And in the background behind this particular text, we know that it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, that the Apostle Paul was fighting false apostles that were... Now, he is in Ephesus. There are men have come in behind him into Corinth. They are saying, we're an apostle, which only means a sent one with authority. And they're coming in and they're now saying, oh, Paul was all wrong. He doesn't know what he was talking about. And they're saying, look what we've done. Look what we've accomplished. And forget Paul. And you can find that in the previous verses to this passage here. Then when we get to verse 23, this is how Paul responds. Are they servants of Christ? The answer is, no. I am a better one. I am talking like a madman. Because he's boasting about himself, what I've done. He doesn't want to do it. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. Now he lists the afflictions he was going through. I don't know about you guys, I think I wouldn't be your pastor if I was have to live through this kind of stuff. Verse 24, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. So 5 times he was whipped 39 times. Would you be running for that? Oh yeah, I volunteer. Verse 25, three times I was beaten with rods. Picture this, someone breaks off a broomstick and they start beating you with it. Oh, I'll be first in line. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked, a day and a night I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, which would have been the Jews, dangers from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, which is the false apostles that were coming into Corinth. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in the cold, and being exposed, in verse 28, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. The afflictions that the Apostle Paul faced were broad. It wasn't just one thing. It was many things. And it was overwhelming him. But God to continue to comfort him while he was going through these. The Apostle Paul saw the bigger picture. He saw beyond just today and today's difficulty. He saw verse 4 of our passage, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are afflicted. As you and I are going through a difficult time today, you're using it, you're learning to, I want to use the word cope, I don't know if that's, I could choose a better word, as you're learning how to work through that difficult day. Like today, we're working through the COVID. What, we're all sitting 6 feet apart in groups and we wear masks or just all of the stuff that's going on. We turn around and we realize that as I work through it, as you work through it, and as we talk about it, and we use the Word of God as our guide on how to respond to it, we are encouraging, we are comforting one another how we can conduct ourselves so we are pleasing to God while we're going through the different level of afflictions. We wrestle with these things because we are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he says in verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. I am following Christ. And as I'm doing it, I'm being obedient to Christ. And I know that as that comforts me, that he is there for me. He is merciful towards me. He gives me help and he gives me hope. And if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Paul's point being is, as I reach out to you while you're going through difficult times, he says that I am reaching out so that you will know about your salvation and you will be comforted in it. And as you patiently endure while you're going through it, it's talking about you and me growing up and knowing what it means to follow Christ even when things are not going our way. I know Russ and I have said it over and over again, him and I, when we talk all the time, and it's always like, it's not how we imagined it. It's just, this is what I dreamed was my dream job. This wasn't my dream vacation. This wasn't the way I thought it would be. And so all of our, that we wrestle with and that we're going through is for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Would you notice with me in verses 7 through 9, he says, our hope for you is unshaken. When you are rooted and grounded in Christ, you are like a tree. You are rooted and you can't be shaken from your place. For we know that as we share in our sufferings, you also share in our sufferings. They understood as it, that if I'm helping you, you're helping me. We're working together because we love one another in Christ to help one another. We are part of the family of God. And so he tells us that that in verse, the last part of verse 9, indeed, we felt that we have received the sentence of death, but that was to make us, and what does yours have the word rely in verse 9? Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Your hope and my hope is that we will be resurrected as Christ was resurrected, and as we are living this life and we try to finish it well, we are relying on God who will resurrect us even though we are going through our daily afflictions, whatever they may be. Our hope is in our bond with Christ, that our faith may be found in God, and that our hope in the Lord is unshaken because we are assured of what Christ has done and it has been applied to us who have believed on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on and finally says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. He's talking about Ephesus. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. The Apostle Paul wants all believers to understand if we're going through difficult times, be it a physical or an emotional or spiritual, know that you are not alone, that you are just part of now this what God is doing as we come along and spend our, 60, 70, 80 years here on earth, and then we're gone. That all of these troubles are being used by God as a tool to mature us, and we can help others in our as we go through our affliction to share with others how they can go through theirs. Think of it, what Paul was saying. Paul was trying to encourage the believers in that Corinthian church, the leader, with all the leadership problems, with all the sexual problems they had, with all the marital problems they had going on, with all the other stuff with the idol worshipers, and all of their constant letters that they were sending him, and that all the troubles that he had in the city of Ephesus and the other churches, and that he says that he was utterly burdened. The phrase is, he's burned out. He was burned out for trying to be a follower of Jesus Christ and expending himself for the cause of Christ. He says it was beyond our human strength. Yeah, because we're in a spiritual battle. Even to the point of despair. He's talking about emotional depression. He was depressed. The Apostle Paul even felt like he was close to death. He was giving up. Him and Timothy were giving up because it was such a strain on them because the answers weren't coming fast enough. But God uses afflictions in the Apostle Paul's life to advance the kingdom of God. How so? Those afflictions caused Paul and his traveling companions to rely on God. Now, how do we listen to this? How do you and I listen to this? Do we hear that? When you're going through difficult times, does that cause you to rely on the Lord? Do you call out to Him? Do you cry out to Him? Did I just say that correctly? God uses afflictions in the lives of His children? Yes, He does. God our Father uses afflictions as a tool to cause us, like He did the Apostle Paul, to rely on Him, to drive us to our knees, and to cry out to our Father in heaven. I don't have the bulletin. I want the back of my bulletin. Got one? Thank you, Gary. If you'll notice with me on the back of your bulletin, that is what that's David's prayer, part of David's prayer, about being afflicted. Notice what David says in Psalm 86, verses 1 through 7. Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help. That's called desperation. Protect me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and I trust you. You are my God. You're the strong one. You're the one I rely on. Be merciful to me, O God, for I am calling on you constantly. Give me happiness, O Lord, for I give myself to you. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. When you're going through the affliction, you're asking for help. You're relying on Him. Listen closely to my prayer, Lord, and hear my urgent cry. Someone's in despair. Someone's in affliction. I will call to you whenever I'm in trouble, and you will answer me. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart so that I may honor you. Our Father in heaven will deliver us from all of our afflictions. Our Father in heaven has delivered his children in the past from their afflictions. If you've read any of your Old Testament, you know he's done that. He still is delivering his children today in all of the afflictions that are going on around the world. And he will continue to deliver his children in the future. And that's why I'd like to end with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father, it is truly our blessing to be known by you, and that you reach out to us as a Father who is merciful towards us. You do not hold our trespasses against us. You forgive us of our sin, and that you continue to comfort us and give us the help and the hope that is needed day by day in each one of the different things we wrestle with, be it a physical, be it emotional, whatever. Oh, dear God, I ask your blessings upon us here this morning, that you will continue to lead us and guide us, help us, encourage us, and give us the help and the hope that is needed for each one of us as an individual and for each one of our families. And for this, we give you all the glory and all the praise in Christ's name. Amen.